Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode number 223. Today we're reading chapter 17 of the novel, The Unspoken Prayer Request, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Aubrey settled in her mother's home. She was glad to be in familiar surroundings. She felt relieved she did not have to deal with Jamal, but at the same time, she regretted the way things ended. After taking a week off, she continued her job at Katrina Bravosky Interior Design. She was a little anxious when the police stopped by on Tuesday to follow up on the events that had taken place. "I don't know what I'm going to do, Mother," Aubrey said. "I remember pulling out the gun, but I was too scared to shoot." "I know what we can do," Mother Jameson said. "We can pray about it each day. Thank God this situation has not reached the newspaper. I pray it stays that way." Aubrey tried to go on with her life as though the events of that evening had never happened. Her Friday evening rendezvous with her girlfriends now took place at her mother's house. She appreciated their friendship and encouraging words. "You need a good lawyer, a Christian lawyer," Mother said, thumbing through the yellow pages. "Mother, with all due respect," Aubrey said, "people don't use yellow pages anymore. Come on, let's find a lawyer on the internet. You need to become familiar with the computer anyway." Aubrey gave her mother a crash course in navigating the web as they searched for a competent lawyer. Aubrey pointed to one who had been in practice for 15 years. "Nope, too old," Mother Jameson said. Aubrey pointed out a few more. "Nope, I do not like the look in his eyes. That one does not look stable." Mother Jameson finally settled on a young lawyer about 29 years old. "He has only been in practice for 5 years, Mother. We need someone with years of experience," Aubrey said, furrowing her brow. "Something tells me that we should at least ask if he would take your case." Mother Jameson patted Aubrey's arm as she picked up the phone to dial the lawyer's number. "I've been praying about this, you know." "Well, if you insist," Aubrey agreed. Mother Jameson and Aubrey made their first appointment with a lawyer, Quentin Rodney, later that week. He listened to the details without interrupting, jotting things down on his legal pad every now and then. Aubrey was sure her mother had made a good decision after she noticed the confidence that seemed to emanate from Quentin. She was impressed that he took the time to pray with them before they parted ways. "I must admit, Mother, I'm very impressed," Aubrey said as they drove home. "Mother knows best," Mother Jameson said with a smile. "Along with myself, Simone, Jennifer, and Kelly, you should notify anybody who would be willing to speak on your behalf. Like Mr. Rodney said, since no one else witnessed what happened in the house, the testimony of other people in your favor will be crucial in any kind of trial." Mr. Rodney wanted to visit Aubrey's home where the tragedy had taken place. Mother Jameson was unable to take him there due to a previous engagement. Mr. Rodney and a private investigator followed Aubrey to the location. As they moved from the living room to the game room, Aubrey shared with the two men what had taken place in their marriage as it related to the case. It was difficult for her to relive the unpleasant event that had taken place. "I know this is a difficult time for you," Mr. Rodney said with genuine concern. "Just take your time and don't leave anything out," said Mitch Mitchell, the private investigator. "Tell us what happened in as much detail as you can, and we won't have to go over it again." Mr. Mitchell took pictures of the game room. There were empty bottles of alcohol laying around, just as Jamal had left it. Slipping on a pair of gloves, Mr. Mitchell picked up Jamal's cell phone and scrolled through the recent text messages. Some of the messages were to Aubrey. They read, "I'm watching you. Who's that man you were talking to? I'll deal with you when I see you. You're coming home late. What's up with that?" It also revealed messages to and from a woman named Destiny. Mr. Mitchell noticed Aubrey's surprised reaction as she read the messages over his shoulder. "I take it you don't know this Destiny?" Mr. Rodney asked. "No," Aubrey sighed. "I guess he was cheating on me. That explains why he would disappear for several days without contacting me and without telling me where he was. We will need to keep this as possible evidence." Mr. Mitchell took out a small clear plastic bag and dropped the phone into it. Leaving the game room, they went into the kitchen. As Mr. Mitchell inspected the area, Aubrey stood by the entrance. She broke down as she recalled the events of that Friday night. Laying a hand on her shoulder, Mr. Rodney led her to the living room. "Have a seat and take your time. If you need some fresh air, you can step outside for a few minutes." "No, I'll be all right," Aubrey said amid sniffles. "It's just being back here and seeing the kitchen for the first time since that night that is making everything so difficult." Mr. Rodney nodded understandingly. Mr. Mitchell took a few pictures and jotted down some notes. Jamal's phone rang inside the plastic bag. "I'll answer it," Mr. Rodney said. "It was Destiny." "No, this is not Jamal, but this is his number," he said. "I won't be able to give a message to him. He had an accident that led to his death." "Yes? Hello? Hello?" He pressed the end call button on the phone. "She hung up," he said to Aubrey. As they were preparing to leave the house, Aubrey exclaimed, "Hold on a minute, I just remembered something." "Here," she said, reaching into her pocket and handing Mr. Mitchell her BlackBerry. "This might help you further." Mr. Mitchell flipped through the pictures on the phone. "What made you take these pictures, Aubrey? Were you planning on going to the authorities about your husband?" "I don't know. Something just told me to," Aubrey said. Later that afternoon, as Mr. Rodney was organizing the evidence that Mr. Mitchell had given to him, he thought more about Aubrey. Even though she was grieving over the loss of her husband, he could not help but notice that she was young, beautiful, and from what she had shared with him, had big plans for her life. This was just one negative chapter of her life, and he wanted to help her close it on a positive note. Being an honest man, he had to admit that he would not mind getting to know her more personally. "Lord," he prayed silently, "help me to keep things in perspective. She's my client. Help me to see her as nothing more than that." Then he added, "at least until everything is cleared up." Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, may God bless you until next time.